This is Josh.
I'm Leonika.
And I'm Glenn.
Tabletop Journeys is made up of a team of lifelong role players, storytellers, and friends. Together, we have more than 75 years of experience in countless role-playing game systems, but at the end of the day, Dungeons & Dragons is where we call home.
We formed Tabletop Journeys so we could do what we love, create epic adventures in fantastic lands with amazing people. We bring our player-driven, story-first game style to everything we do, and we would love to help you, player or storyteller, get the most out of your campaign's narrative, player characters, and NPCs.
Make sure you listen to our podcast to catch our take on the D&D core rules, how to use them as written, and how to homebrew your own content to get the most out of your story. We also explore other RPGs and the countless places that we find role-playing inspiration.
Soon, we'll be breaking into the content creation world also. Keep an eye and an ear out for the Tabletop Journeys original adventure modules and other homebrew content coming soon on DM's Guild.
So, welcome to the Three Pillars of D&D cast. I'm Jesse.
I'm Lou.
I'm Lou. Tyler, that time was intentional.
Your face is intentional. All right.
This doesn't even make any sense.
Neither does your face. All right. So this week we're doing our character video on the sorcerer this time. On our character videos, we make a character using standard array. And we usually in the range between levels 5 and 15. Sometimes they're above or below that, but we try to stick within there. To give you a general idea of how a character can turn out in those higher levels after you've spent some time building them up. Sometimes we make NPCs. Sometimes we, make what we want to intend to be used as player characters. But either way, we just want to show you how the character will turn out. We also allow you to download those as well. So look for that in the description of this video and or podcast. So without further ado. So this week I will be doing the combat focused character. A little character I call Petra Skillet. But first, let's go over their subclass. So the subclass I decided to go with was Shadow Magic. You are a creature of shadow, for your innate magic comes from the shadow fell itself. You might trace your lineage to an entity from that place, or perhaps you were exposed to its fell energy and transformed by it. The power of shadow magic casts a strange pall over your physical presence. The spark of life that sustains you is muffled, as if it struggles to remain viable against the dark energy that imbues your soul. At your option, you can pick from or roll on the Shadow Sorcerer quirks table to create a quirk for your character. Example quirks are, you're always icy cold to the touch. When you are asleep, you don't appear to breathe, though you must still breathe to survive. You barely bleed, even when badly injured. Your heart beats once per minute. This event sometimes surprises you. You have trouble remembering that living creatures and corpses should be treated differently. And you blinked. Once last week. As for their abilities, we have Eyes of the Dark. Starting at first level, you have dark vision with a range of 120 feet. When you reach third level in this class, you learn the darkness spell, which doesn't count against your number of sorcerer spells known. In addition, you can cast it by spending 2 sorcery points or by expending a spell slot. If you cast it with sorcery points, you can see through the darkness created by the spell. Strength of the Grave. Starting at first level, your existence in a twilight state between life and death makes you difficult to defeat. When damage reduces you to 0 hit points, you can make a charisma saving throw, DC 5, plus the damage taken. On a success, you instead drop to 1 hit point. You can't use this feature if you are reduced to 0 hit points by radiant damage or by a critical hit. After the saving throw succeeds, you can't use this feature again until you finish a long rest. These are obviously very good combat abilities, and since I'm making a combat build, this works out really well. I think you could actually use the darkness strategically in a social setting if you really wanted to mess things up too. I think you could probably do a lot of intimidation with that, especially since you can still see through things. You could also use it as an opportunity to pickpocket people as well. Anything else you guys think you can add to that?
No, it's just a good ability.
All right,
really good.
Yeah. Then at 6th level, you have the Hound of Ill Omen. At 6th level, you gain the ability to call forth a howling creature of darkness to harass your foes. As a bonus action, you can spend 3 sorcery points to magically summon a Hound of Ill Omen to target one creature you can see within 120 feet of you. The Hound uses the Dire Wolf statistics, see the Monster Manual, or the Appendix C in the Player's Handbook, with the following changes. The Hound's size is medium, not large, and it counts as a monstrosity, not a beast. It appears with a number of temporary hit points equal to half your sorcery level. It can move through other creatures and objects as if they were difficult terrain. The Hound takes 5 force damage if it ends its turn inside an object. At the start of its turn, the Hound automatically knows its target's location. If the target was hidden, it is no longer hidden from the Hound. The Hound appears in an unoccupied space of your choice within 30 feet of the target. Roll initiative for the Hound. On its turn, it can move only towards its target by the most direct route, and it can use its action only to attack its target. The Hound can make opportunity attacks, but only against its target. Additionally, while the Hound is within 5 feet of the target has disadvantage on saving throws against any spells you cast. The Hound disappears if it's reduced to 0 hit points, if its target is reduced to 0 hit points, or after 5 minutes.
This is so, so strong. The Dire Wolf is the one reason why Moon Druid is such a powerful build.
Oh. Yeah, and it's like having a companion that you are familiar that you don't have to use your bonus action or action to direct it. When it comes to action economy, it's really efficient. It's basically just another party member.
Yeah, it's only 3 sorcery points. You can do this multiple times. Seems. Actually, can they stack? Let me look at the wording again. Yeah, I think they could. I think you could summon multiple at the same time.
Yeah, I actually don't see where you couldn't. Let's look at the Dire Wolf again, real quick.
Dire Wolf, it's a large beast, so it'd be medium with this.
Yeah,
spell.
It's a medium monstrosity instead. But the big thing here is that it does 10 piercing damage on an attack. It has +5 to hit. Also, it can knock them prone if they fail a DC 13 saving throw.
Also, it has pack tactics. The wolf has advantage on an attack roll against a creature if at least one of the wolf's allies is within 5 feet of the creature and the ally isn't incapacitated.
Yeah, so as a sorcerer, you can throw in a fun little guy who's going to have 37 hit points plus temporary hit points equal to the amount equal to your half your level. So
yeah,
at least 40 hit points to kind of start with. And if you pair it up with your fighter, or barbarian, or cleric, or whatever happens to be in the front line, with whatever creature, I mean, you can just blast things pretty good. And on top of that, it doesn't require concentration, that's not a problem. So you can still use concentration spells and do your normal attacks. It basically is just there for 5 minutes to mess stuff up.
So strong.
I mean, yeah, you obviously want to save it for the big bad of the group, because since once it gets to 0 hit points, it goes away, because you can only target one thing, you can't switch its targets.
Yeah.
But that's still pretty good. an extra 10 damage a turn, pretty good. I mean, it might not always hit, of course, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, it'll have advantage if it's near someone and +5 to hit. That's really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty likely to hit, unless it's got a really high AC to target, So yeah, it's a really good 6th level ability. Then at 14th level, you get Shadow Walk. You gain the ability to step from one shadow into another. When you are in dim light or darkness, as a bonus action, you can magically teleport up to 120 feet to an unoccupied space you can see that is also in dim light or darkness.
That's so strong.
Yeah. And you can use this in so many situations. A smoky bar to add that intimidation, or charm, given the right situation. You can obviously use it in caves or ruins in order to basically teleport anywhere around inside of it. You can
if you use the first ability you get with this class, Eyes of the Dark, you can summon a darkness, because remember, cast darkness somewhere else and cast it near you and teleport.
Yeah, there's that too. So you can make your own darkness if you really need to use this teleport. 120 feet is pretty good. I mean, you have to be able to see where you're going, but that's a lot. And this isn't limited by sorcery points or a spell slot. You could just do this whenever. So in the right environment, you can just zip around, do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah, at night, like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, at night, you're forced to be reckoned with out in the open. Anything there, Lou?
No.
Really? Nothing?
Nothing.
Not a cool idea?
No.
I think the Shadow Sorcerer is the one build that could stop the rogue sneaking around the log.
It could.
I don't think it could. I don't think anything could stop the rogue sneaking around the log. Just my headcanon.
You were so tired that day.
I imagine this could be really fun to sneak up on a group of bad guys or whatever around a campfire at night. I mean, think of how devastatingly you could just zip around their camp, kill everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, this could make a really brutal assassin kind of build. Obviously you can be a hero too, but like you could do some really nasty stuff with this thing.
No, if you combine it with Shadow Blade, which gets advantage if you're in dim light or darkness, you can just like murderize people.
Yeah. Pretty bad. Which
murder?
Is a
I like murder.
Yeah. And it's perfectly on brand spell, of course, for the sorcerer subclass. You don't even have to reflavor it. That's perfect. Alright, then there's the Umbral Form. Starting at 18th level, you can spend 6 sorcery points as a bonus action to magically transform yourself into a shadowy form. In this form, you have resistance to all damage except force and radiant damage, and you can move through other creatures and objects as if they were difficult terrain. You take 5 force damage if you end your turn inside an object. You remain in this form for 1 minute. It ends early if you're incapacitated, if you die, or if you dismiss it as a bonus action. This is just kind of cool.
Wrong.
What's that?
This is strong.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to go with that whole, assassin build, yeah, this is a good ability. You know, you can just, walk through, creatures and objects.
Yeah, and there was, in one of the book series I really like, one of the Shadowhunter ones that take place in the Victoria era, James, he actually has, this kind of a shadowy form thing that he can do, and he turns into a shadowy form and goes between stuff, and it's a lot like this. It's kind of cool. It's a really cool narrative. If you ever want to read it, it's from the I can't remember the name of the book now, but Chain of Gold, I think it is. Yeah, Chain of Gold. It's pretty good, pretty cool one. Just like Shadow Walk, for example. I forgot to mention this. Shadow Walk is not like Nico and the Percy Jackson books. He kind of has that. Plus, he kind of has the hound too, actually. He's got that giant hellhound that was it that Percy's hellhound first for some reason, but
yeah, and then Percy gave it to Nico because Percy was retiring from the business, as we see in Trials of Apollo.
Yeah, well, I think he gave it to him before then, but yeah,
I think a little bit before then. I don't remember. I haven't read those books in forever.
Yeah, it's been a minute. But yeah, so there's lots of good versions of shadow magic out there. Of course, you can throw some ninja-ness in there and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, so there's the idea there. So for my character, I went ahead and I made who I called Petra Skillet. That actually should be female, not male. So I had to change that.
About Petra.
Forgot about Petra. We all make mistakes. So I fixed that. It's a play on Peter Pan, obviously, is what I was going to go on for. My intention was for her to be probably an NPC. I made her a shadow sorcerer, obviously. She's the fairy that's going to show up in the Wild Beyond the Witchlight book coming out soon. This was the UA one, but so it might change a little bit from here and there, but when I post it, it's going to be this one. I went so far as to make it so that she uses the Living Shadow from the Ravenloft book. So I actually made up the shadow magic with the living shadow features, because I wanted her to have having that living shadow thing. So that's going to add a couple extra abilities as well. So a couple of those were the grasping shadow. You learned the mage hand cantrip. I chose charisma obviously to use with that, and then it's not. It requires no components, and it's a shadow. You know, the spell is shadowy, but it's not bound to your actual shadow. The shadow strike, you make a melee attack roll. You can increase your reach for that attack by 10 feet. Your shadow stretches to deliver the attack. And ominous will. Oh, no, it's whenever you roll a 1, you exert your will on somebody else. You roll a d4. If the number is odd, reduce the total by the number rolled. If the number is even, increase by the number rolled. This effect occurs, and it can't happen again until you finish a short or long rest. So there's just a few little quirks that go with that. The idea behind Petra here is that I wanted her to be, you know, she's a former criminal who kind of showed up on this island, Never Never Land, was going around, you know, pillaging and stealing things like you do. She gets trapped by some kind of external force, you know, whatever works for your game. It could be like an archfey, it could be a demon, you know, whatever. Not only does her sorcerer powers, you know, develop because of it, but also that living shadow gets attached to her as well. I figured there's two ways you could play this NPC up. You could either be Petra herself is innocent and the living shadow that's attached to her is evil. You could have the players go out of their way to try to save Petra from her shadow. You know, build a nice little story arc in that to separate her shadow from herself or whatever. Or you could play her as really conniving and she's all innocent and nice and she's actually quite evil and just she has her shadow do all the dirty work and she's actually really like big bad of the adventure or even the campaign.
That would be cool.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways you could go about her. I really wanted to emphasize, of course, the high charisma, but wanted to have a decent dexterity and constitution. Obviously, I dumped on the strength because that's not going to be as important. I wanted her to have some pretty decent skills, charisma, persuasion, sleight of hand. Because of that mage hand, I really wanted her to have the ability to steal things from the party members or her evil shadow, however you want to phrase it. I had her take the actor feat, so that she could, you know, mimic people's speech and really mess with the players. And of course she has skilled here, so she has the extra skills that I wanted her to have. I made her shadow sorcerer quirk is when you are asleep, you don't appear to breathe. And then I had her shadow quirk from the living shadow be when it's not being watched, my shadow makes threatening gestures or creeps towards people. Just to kind of give her that creepy vibe, you know. She should do fairly well in combat, you know. I mean, everything about the Shadow Sorcerer makes a character pretty good in combat overall.
Oh, yeah.
I made sure that she had, like, some good equipment overall, like Ring of Protection. I wanted her to use the two-bird sling so she could hit two of the opponents. Got the Boots of Elvenkind for sneaking around. The Dagger Warning so to give her the good initiative. The Hellfire Dagger, because she's kind of evil. Yeah, so nothing too powerful that shouldn't be a big problem for your party to get too many goodies from her. But overall, I thought it was a fun combat build. It's not going to be super powerful. She's going to, you know, some of her spells include things like shield and things like that. So she can defend herself pretty well in combat. A big focus on minor illusion and prestidigitation and stuff like that. The whole idea is you're supposed to really focus on being really tricky with her. Like, play her like a roguish sorcerer, you know? We got things like Alter Self and Darkness. Shadow Blade, of course, is included in there because, yeah, you'd be a fool not to. You know, Haste and Fear. We got a little bit of Banishment, Dimension Door, things like that. I liked Seeming as a 5th level spell for her. That's, I don't know if you're familiar with Seeming, but that's the one where you can make everybody in an area appear like the same way and things like that. I change the appearance of any number of creatures into a new appearance. And if she's got minions, which, you know, based on Peter Pan, so you should have some Lost Boys or Lost Girls, maybe.
Yes,
in the area as well. So you could have like the lost girls who are not necessarily going to be bad either. That's going to create this kind of a moral dilemma for your players, right? They're not going to want to just kill everybody because these are little kids, you know, little girls, you know. They're not going to want to kill a bunch of little girls. So they had to figure out how to get around this conniving, you know, sneakative kind of villain, right? Whether you make Petra herself evil or not. You know, there's just a lot of, there's a lot of elements there. So she's going to be dangerous because of her ability to manipulate and control things, right? With Seeming, you can do things like make every one of the lost girls look like her. And then who, you know, how do you find her, you know? You know, things like that. There's just a lot of good trickery involved with this. And of course, you know, your hound is always going to have fun chewing up that paladin in the group. So why not?
Oh yeah, that's necessary.
And so just a reminder, go in the description and you'll be able to download this character and use it in your own game. So any questions? Any ideas? Thoughts?
Well, I like your character really much.
I get a fascinating character with a lot of possibilities.
There you go. All right. And I think at some other point, I'll probably go and try to do a video up where I can show you how to do the Living Shadow to use it in your own campaign as well. So next we have Tyler.
Storm sorcery. Your innate magic comes from the power of elemental air. Many with this power can trace their magic back to a near-death experience caused by the great rain. But perhaps you were born during a howling gale so powerful that folks still tell stories of it. Your lineage might include the influence and opponent air creatures such as Jinn. Whatever the case, the magic of the storm permeates your being. Storm sorcerers are invaluable members of a ship's crew. Your magic allows them to exert control over wind and weather in their immediate area. Your abilities also prove useful in repelling attacks by Sahagin pirates and other waterborne threats. Interesting concept, right?
Yeah, I
like that.
Oh yeah, they're fun.
So your first feature, Windspeaker, the arcane magic you command is infused with elemental air. You speak, read, and write primordial. Knowing this language allows you to understand and be understood by those who speak its dialects, Aquan, Orin, Ignan, and Terran. So, you know, that's a lot of languages, basically.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, but especially since you're making a social interaction character, that having all those languages is really good.
Tempestuous magic. Starting at first level, you can use a bonus action on your turn to cause whirling gusts of elemental air to briefly surround you. Immediately before or after you cast a spell first level or higher, doing so allows you to fly up to 10 feet without provoking opportunity attacks.
That's really good. I mean,
it is really good.
I mean, not only is it cool looking, I mean, for a sorcerer just to fly up in the air, that has that cool magical sense to you, but not provoking attacks of opportunity and getting yourself out of the fray could be really useful.
Yeah, crossing ships like with this ability would be so great.
Oh, yeah.
Your next ability, Heart of the Storm. At 6th level, you gain resistance to lightning and thunder damage. In addition, whenever you cast a spell first level or higher that deals lightning or thunder damage, stormy magic erupts from you. This eruption causes creatures of your choice that you can see within 10 feet you take lightning or thunder damage. Choose each time this ability activates equal to half your sorcerer level. Just a bit of extra damage.
Yeah, I mean, it's what starts off as 3 damage. Yeah. And kind of goes up from there. It's not a lot, but it's, you know, every little bit counts sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're dealing with minions, you take out a bunch of minions at once.
Yeah. Yeah. And the really good ability of this level, Storm Guide. At 6th level, you gain the ability to subtly control the weather around you. If it is raining, you can use an action that causes the rain to stop falling and a 20-foot radius sphere centered on you. You can end this effect as a bonus action. If it is windy, you can use a bonus action each round to choose the direction that the wind blows in a 100-foot radius sphere centered on you. The wind blows in that direction until the end of your next turn. This feature doesn't alter the speed of the wind.
Some of the sorcerer subclasses, you don't get 2 6th level abilities. And I like that this one gives you two. They're both not, like, the most powerful abilities, but they give you two of them. And I think that that's kind of a fun thing. Honestly, I'd rather have two Midland powers and maybe one power that I don't get to use all the time, but is a little more powerful. You know what I mean?
And also, I like these abilities because, like, one's for combat and one's for just, like, you know, exploring the sea, which is a really good contrast.
Yeah. Also, it'd be really good in just high up areas. I think, you know, yeah. you could really use wind blowing to knock someone off a mountain, push them off a cliff. You know, you could use it in social situations to mess up some guy who is trying to be all cool and talking, and you could have his cape flow back into his face. I mean, that could be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
We're not petty.
No, not petty at all. Storm's Fury. Starting at 14th level, when you are hit by a melee attack, you can use your reaction to deal lightning damage to the attacker. The damage equals your sorcerer level. The attacker must also make a strength saving throw against your sorcerer spell save DC. On failed save, the attacker is pushed in a straight line up to 20 feet away from you.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
I love when subclasses add reactions, because there's just not enough reactions. I don't know how many times I've gone entire combat encounters without ever using a reaction because attack of opportunities just don't come up very often, you know?
I forget there are reactions at the time.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it's just some lightning damage, but
the pushing is really good.
Yeah, in the right situation, that can really make a difference.
Yeah, especially on a ship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you haven't gathered it, that's a hint.
And then there is Wind Soul. At 18th level, you gain immunity to lightning and thunder damage. You also gain a magical flying speed of 60 feet. As an action, you can reduce your flying speed to 30 feet for 1 hour and choose any number of creatures within 30 feet of you equal to 3 plus your charisma modifier. The chosen creatures gain a magical flying speed of 30 feet for 1 hour. Once you reduce your flying speed this way, you can't do so until you finish a short or long rest.
Oh, this is so cool. So if you have a whole bunch of people with you, like, or a whole party or whatever, you can just make everybody fly for an hour. I mean, that's really cool. I like that. I mean, magical flying speed of 60 feet is pretty good, too.
No, that is really good.
Short rest reset or long rest reset, that's nice as well. I mean, this is a good capstone ability. It's, you know, obviously there's probably a few that are better, but not many. I mean, lightning and thunder damage immunity is really good, and flying is really good, and the fact that you can give that to other people is really good. I mean, I've seen a lot worse, I can tell you that. Obviously, you know, three pillars-wise, combat and exploration-based. But also social interaction to a certain degree. I mean, since you're giving it to your compatriots, there's a certain interactivity that, like, you do really want to be part of a group to use this. You don't want to be lone wolfing it or anything like that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, these are some really good abilities that can make a really interesting character. Speaking of interesting character, let's go to my character.
Well, actually, speaking of that, we should go to break.
Oh.
Yeah, we definitely should. Break time is now.
All right.
Now.
Few things inspire you to create your own campaign more than hearing a bunch of friends enjoying theirs. But where do you start?
Here at Undercommon Taste, we discuss tabletop gaming and homebrew content, as well as diving into the concepts of world building, content creation, game balance, and various DM tips. We focus mainly on 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons, but most of our advice can be taken into any system.
We dive into the existing lore of older editions, discussing the impact of bringing old, sometimes forgotten, lore into the current edition to bring your campaign worlds to life.
We also host various game and game systems creators to get a sample of up-and-coming projects and to get their take on how to bring something unexpected and new to the table.
So join us for Under Common Taste, where we stir the pot and lick the spoon. Available wherever you find your podcasts.
Today's episode is supported by Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast. Season 1 Veil is an epic mystery thriller set in New Harbor, a city of magic, monsters, and machines. The cast is wonderful, and it uses the 13th Age game system. They release a new episode every Wednesday. I have listened to many episodes, and I listen to it every week because I am actually a genuine fan of this podcast, so I really suggest you go out and listen to it yourself. You can find and listen to Realms of Peril and Glory anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our thanks to Realms of Peril and Glory for their support. Also, if you use our special link, www.lightandtragic.com/pillars, you'll let them know that we sent you there. Here's a small sample of their show.
Welcome to Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast.
There are guided tours once a week. Come on, Dark Redden.
How about you, you filthy timepiece?
RPG is home to hilarious stories.
The thing that kicks off a really good tale is
when they take their tops off.
Sorry?
When you're reading, like, don't worry.
And thrilling adventures.
There's bad guys, there's an ogre. Probably best if you stay here. Sorry, I'll be back soon.
Why am I tied up?
That was your sibling, not me. Bye.
Each season is an all-new actual play story told collaboratively at the table, featuring guest players from the Magnus Archives.
I remember being in the water, and that was awful, and now I'm not in the water, and that's much better.
Wooden overcoats.
I am a snowman. I have one job, and that is to stand in place. I was doing that very well.
Yes, and she might come back 9 times more powerful with lots of food and kippers.
We fix space junk.
On the surface, you might look different, but you're very, very similar inside. And I can vouch for that.
And more.
What I am about to tell you stays in this room. Got it?
Don't happen know where there's, like, secret plans about meat and smoothies.
Ducks! Did you say ducks? Did you say ducks? Did you say duck?
You can find Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're gonna have a good laugh, then we're gonna possibly cry, and then we'll grab dinner.
All right, so welcome to the sellout break.
This is
where we promote stuff, mostly ourselves. right now, actually, what we are promoting is that we're going to be giving away Fizban's Treasury of Dragons on D&D Ooh. Beyond. So it's just going to be a digital copy of the book. We're going to run the contest until October 8th. I should say it's on October 8th where we'll draw the name. So actually, technically, it's going to end October 7th at midnight. However you want to, you know, phrase that. So enter before then. To enter, you need to use the hashtag #ThreePillarsCast. And we just simply want you to share your favorite episode on Twitter and kind of, like, you know, tell everybody why you like it, what, you know, all that jazz.
Yeah.
The idea is to spread the word of the show. We kind of want to get out there. You know, we're not getting this for free. So we would really like everyone to, you know, do their best and spread the word. We've given away a couple books already and hadn't had any troubles with that before. So, yeah, enter to win. And it's a free book. And it's a code. So, like, if you're like us and you already pre-ordered Fizban's, for example, you can give that code to somebody else. You know, use it contest for your own channel or give it to one of your friends in your D&D group. Whatever you want to do with it. We're not going to be mad at you for whatever you decide to do with it. You can't redeem it, though, so you can't get money back. But other than that, you know, it's something you can give away and have fun with. So on top of that, if you want to get a hold of us, we're always available on Twitter. You can DM us. You can add us on Twitter and just start a conversation. Have suggestions for the show, topics you'd like to see, if your favorite class hasn't been covered yet and you really want us to do that. You know, we're always up for ideas. If you have topics you'd like us to discuss, we're always open to new ideas. So, yeah, talk to us there and and let us know. If you'd rather, you can also contact us at ardworkyfamily @gmail.com, and you can contact us on the emails. Anything else, guys?
No.
Stay squirrely.
Face squirrely?
Stay squirrely.
Stay squirrely. That's true. All right, so back to the show. So, let's tell us about your character.
My character is Horatio Franklin of the Dark Depths. The single best name I've ever heard. You know, Storm Sorcerer, of course.
We have, you focus on deception and history, intimidation and perception. What does Horatio do here?
Horatio is the captain of a pirate ship.
Alrighty. Does his ship have a name?
The Swimming Squirrel.
The Swimming Squirrel. Well, there you go. So does it go around the ocean gathering its nuts?
Yes. That's very nice.
And that applies to the crew and the treasures it gets.
Yeah. Oh my God. As character is very much about freedom. Like, that's their lawful neutral character, and that's like their whole ideology. It's all about freedom. You know, the reason they became a pirate is because they wanted to be free to do what they wanted.
Okay, so what feats did you take to emphasize some of his abilities here?
The feats I took, I took Inspiring Leader, you know, because the character is supposed to be a leader, you know. And then there's Warcaster, you have advantage on Constitution saving throws, you make to maintain your concentration on a spell. When you take damage. And, you know, that's just supposed to, you know, help me keep my spells up.
Yeah, you know, no one ever mentions this, but that you can use your reaction to make an opportunity attack to cast a spell that has a casting time of one action and targets only that creature. It doesn't come up very often, but it's there.
No, that's pretty good.
And then I see you took the Elemental Adept of Lightning and Thunder, so you could deal more damage.
Just to help me do a bit more damage. Just Lightning and Thunder attacks.
Oh, and they ignore the resistance to lightning and thunder damage, which that's pretty key, since that's a lot of your spell focus, I imagine.
Yep.
This captain of your ship, you know, of the Swimming Squirrel, you said, right? Is it a big pirate ship? A small but fierce one? Or
40 people. Oh, the main goal is to try and make sure it can go fast enough. A lot of the resources are placed on making sure it goes fast.
All right.
You know.
And is he inherently evil, good, kind of neutral in the world about things? Like,
very neutral. You know, lawful neutral.
So he's got a pretty strong code he follows and stuff like that. So freedom, you mentioned, was one of his big attributes.
Yeah. Yeah, he won't unnecessarily kill. When he raids a ship, he'll take all the treasure, but he'll leave, like, crew people and, you know, resources to get back. You know, people want to join his ship, he'll let them.
Do they have to, like, prove themselves? Like,
not really. If they break any of the rules, they'll just get killed on sight. Oh, so they don't really need to prove themselves.
Well, there you go.
The only people he will kill are slave owners.
Oh, that makes sense. So I'm guessing he may have been a slave at some point, or a prisoner?
No, he was not.
No, he just doesn't like that stuff, hey?
Yeah.
To me, this sounds like someone that you could have as, like, a bad guy or a good guy. Maybe someone the party hires to get him from one, you know, landmass to another. I mean, a faction that you could, like, use. I mean, those little things. I mean, it sounds like a pretty open-ended character to use. Obviously, an NPC.
Yeah, they can fit a lot of roles because they're very neutral, you know. How they treat the characters is just what the characters are trying to do.
Oh, you got all kinds of fun stuff in here. You got Gust and Lightning Litter. There's not a lot of good spells that are lightning and thunder based. They kind of...
I also took air and water spells as well.
I love Thunderstep. That's such a good spell.
Yeah. Yeah, I decided to take Mass Polymorph, Earth so I can either turn another ship into a bunch of fishes or my crew into a bunch of sharks.
There you go. God, that would be scary as all else.
It would be so fun, though.
Yeah, I remember Investiture of the Wind being a really powerful spell.
Yeah.
Chain Lightning, that's a fun one. Yeah, there's a lot of fun spells on this list. I like the Mass Polymorph idea. That would be frightening. Yeah, so I could see this would be a really fun character to play and to see in a campaign. So yeah, there you go.
If my crew is high enough level, I can earn what, up to 10 of them, it said? I can transform 10 of my crew into sperm whales if they're high enough level.
All right. With that, we'll move on to loose.
Wild magic. Your innate magic comes from the forces of chaos that underlie the order of creation. You might have endured exposure and raw magic, perhaps through a planar portal leading to Limbo, the elemental planes, or the far realm. Perhaps you were blessed by a fae being, or marked by a demon, or your magic should just be a fluke of your birth with no apparent cause. However, it came to be this magic churns within you, waiting for any output. So, wild magic surge. Starting when you choose this origin at first level, your spellcasting can unleash surges of untamed magic. Once per turn, the DM can choose to have you roll a d20 immediately after you cast a sorcerer spell of level 1 or higher. If you roll a 1, roll a wild magic surge table to create a magical effect. If that affects the spell, it is too wild to be affected by your metamagic. And if it normally requires concentration, it doesn't require concentration in this case. The spell lasts for its full duration.
Alright. Is there any particular ones that you think are really cool or interesting?
I just like Fireball. The
Fireball Yourself one?
Yep. The Fireball Yourself one I just think is funny.
I think you summoning 1d6 flumps is pretty fun.
I like this one. You could really use that this one, Blue. The 11 through 12, your height changes by number of inches equal to the roll.
I'm gonna go.
But no, they might get even shorter though. That'd be scary.
But if it's even, she'd be like a human size. Eight.
I'm not going to kill them today.
Oh no.
Resets on yourself is pretty good.
I mean, I like the maximize damage and next damage dealing spell. The flumps, of course, is fun. Regaining hit points is cool.
Yeah, I want the unicorn one. I think that's my favorite. Because it's just like, beautiful.
I think. And plus,
DM order, like, controlling a unicorn, which would be so fun.
I think 77 and 78, you cast Polymorph on yourself. If you fail the saving throw, you turn into a sheep for the spell's duration.
I like this one, you can't speak for the next minute. Whenever you try, pink bubbles float out of your mouth.
Oh, that's great.
So many good ones.
Illusionary butterflies. Ooh, I like that one.
97, 98, you're surrounded by a faint ethereal music for the next minute.
There's some really good ones.
Yeah.
And some like really weird and wacky ones, which I love.
But everyone should definitely check out that table. There's lots of fun stuff there.
I'm not going to read through it because I'm not going to force myself to torture. No thanks. So, Tides of Chaos. Starting at first level, you can manipulate the forces of chance and chaos to gain advantage on one attack roll, ability check, or saving throw. Once you do so, you must finish a long rest before you can use this feature again. Anytime before you agree on the use of this feature, the DM can have you roll in the magic wild magic surge table immediately after you cast a sorcerer spell of first level or higher. You then regain the use of this feature. Which I just think it's cool.
Because
that means you just chaos, and I like chaos. Chaos.
Well, there you go.
Starting at 6th level, you get Bend Luck. You have the ability to twist fate using your wild magic. When another creature you can see makes an attack roll, an ability check, or a saving throw, you can use your reaction and spend 2 sorcery points to roll 1d4 and apply the number rolled as a bonus or penalty. to the creature's roll. You can do so after the creature rolls, but before any of the effects will occur.
I like that one because it just costs sorcery points, basically, but you can use pretty much as much as you want to. I mean, you only get one reaction per turn, but in a social situation, you know, you can use this a lot outside of combat, and that's kind of cool.
That is it's so fun. Honestly, I've been meaning to play a wild sorcerer. It's one of my favorites, and I just think it's so cool. All of the cool sorcerer stuff is just like, yes. At 14th level, you gain controlled chaos. You gain a modicum of control over the surges of your wild magic. Whenever you roll on the wild magic surge table, you can roll twice and use either number.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, still wild stuff is going to happen, but at least you get to pick out what happens. That's kind of fun.
And you get to kind of control it, which is nice. Spell Bombardment. So at 18th level, you get this, and the harmful energy of your spells intensifies. When you roll damage for a spell and roll the highest number possible at any of the dice, choose one of those dice, roll again, and add that number to the damage. You can use the feature only once per turn.
I mean, it's a little boost. It's not the best capstone ability. But it's on theme, at least, I suppose, but...
It's not my favorite run of all of these. I wish it was, like, different. I don't actually really like this. It's weird, and I don't really like it.
One thing I do like about this particular subclass is it doesn't really lend itself to anything.
Yeah.
And it's not really bad for anything either, but, like, you can pretty much use all of this craziness at any time, and... It really does just do a good job of adding that chaos element to your game.
But also on the flip side, if we look at the cons, that means there's not really anything you can, like, change to make it better according to what you play. So that means if you don't like something, you also can't really change it because then it changes a lot.
So
it's always kind of like a little bit of, oh no, what am I going to do? You're stuck with it, and you can change. You can reflavor a lot of things in D&D, but you really can't reflavor wild magic.
No, I mean, all you can really talk about is the origin of it, and that's the major flavoring of it. And you know, that's fun. All right, so you made an exploration based character, right?
Yeah, this is not a great exploration subclass, but I wanted to do it anyways. So fight me.
Tell me a little bit about what you want to do. What's important about Usagi, aka Miss Rabbit.
Miss Rabbit. You have to say it with the rolled R's, Miss or else Rabbit. That would be great.
That better.
Rabbit.
Rabbit.
Yep. Rabbit. So obviously Usagi. I don't actually remember what that's translated from. I think that's Korean. I don't remember. It's been forever. But she is the white rabbit of, like, this little world. She's an NPC only. I would not even try to use her as a player character. She is an NPC, and that's about it.
Usagi starts with a U, right? I think that's the name of Sailor Moon, according to Google.
Oh, no! No, wait, you're lying. I didn't even mean that!
But Usagi is... literally rabbit.
But, like, if you just put in Usagi just by itself in Google, it comes up with Sailor Moon.
I knew that, it was a U name for Usagi. Like for Sailor Moon. I didn't realize it was Usagi. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you look here, according to the definition, you know,
it means rabbit.
Yeah, hares are tricksters in Japanese culture, it looks like. At least according to this article, which could be totally crap because it's Google, but
that's Google. It's gross.
But but either way,
that's a fun little tidbit.
Well, there you go. Yep. Always learning. Yeah. So I see you dump set on strength because I think we're all gonna dump set on strength. Maybe
I didn't really find it necessary.
Yeah, strength is dumb, but that's what my crew's for.
And then you got a little bit of persuasion, some perception, insight, deception, arcana, the usual stuff.
I actually tried to keep this very Alice in Wonderland, which is where Usagi is really based around, and that's why I chose Wild Magic, because I wanted a Wonderland feel. So it's just like Wild Magic, obviously Wild Magic, obviously Wonderland.
Well, there you go. Okay, so the idea is that this character is supposed to come in and just bring chaos to the party, maybe lead them to where they're supposed to go, but cause everything to go crazy on the way or whatever.
To go wrong, to lose track of time. This is a DM character, an NPC. I forgot the name. There we go. An NPC mostly made for chaos, showing players where to go, either if they need to go there or not, and honestly, just being funny.
Oh, okay. So we have, I see you focus on like Crown of Madness and Mirror Image, and you have like Banishment, Dimension Door. You got some True Scene.
Finger of Death is just because I just wanted like a little bit of off with her head type theme. And Finger of Death. It was great.
Well, there you go.
It worked.
And then
there's going to be more spells, but I just have not done that yet.
All right. Anything else that we need to point out? Was there any major inventory? You got a Horn of Blasting? What was your motivation behind the Horn of Blasting?
In the Disney movie of Alice in Wonderland, the White Rabbit has a horn, which she does toot-toot-toot-toot-toot to introduce the queen in. It's like the one of the very last few like minutes of the entire movie. He has it on his entire time, and you see it all the time. So it's just like, she has a horn, and like she has her little clock amulet. It's good. I was hoping to reflavor it as like a little pocket watch, but they don't have one for in D&D. A pocket watch, which is weird.
Oh yeah, but okay, but do you want to change it?
Yeah, I don't know how to change any of this. That's you. I obviously need to watch the how to use D&D Beyond videos.
So, like, you want a clockwork pocket watch? Is that what you want it to be?
Yep.
And then, yeah, so that way it has those differences for you. And then, it still does stuff, whatever it's supposed to do here, but you want to keep it that way. So
yeah, it was mostly for flavor.
Yeah.
Choose Rabbit Folk or Usagi because, one, rabbit, and two, I know rabbit folks are very more focused on exploration, much more of really moving around.
For those people who don't remember, you get to add your proficiency bonus to your initiative rolls, which always makes this character very quick, the perception skill and lucky footwork, and of course the rabbit hop. It's a fun The Leperine, I think, is what they're going to end up calling it.
It should just still be Rabbit Folk. It makes much more sense, but whatever. It's fine.
They had another name for it. I cannot remember what they're going to call it when the book comes out. But, all right. So this character is this character good, evil, just neutral, just doing their job?
Lawful
neutral. Okay, so
if we go to the description, I actually have some stuff there, too.
Okay, so court functionary. Okay, obviously. Yeah, works for the queen. So we have all kinds of faith, the Red Queen. I see.
I wanted to change up, really. I know it's the White Rabbit in Alice in Wonderland, but I really wanted to do something a little different. So, I don't know how to say it. Google says it to me about 10,000 times a day.
Oh, vitiligo?
A vitiligo, that's a skin, not really a disease, but more like it's a pigment issue, where basically like your pigment won't show up all the way and you have like splotches of white all over your skin. Very white people don't see it much, so that's why it's probably more common than you think. So I wanted to make it very noticeable for this character, so on the very nice picture I stole off Google, I decided to change the skin tone. Which is nice. I really like that idea and concept.
And then you have a walking speed of 40. Is that just part of the... Is that just because the rabbits are fast, or did you take some feats?
I don't think I took any feats, mostly because I don't think my feats actually loaded in correctly. I was doing half of this character on my phone, before I got my new one.
No, you took the mobile feet and you had lightly armored.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I was hoping it saved stuff.
Okay. So, yeah. So you're lightly armored and you took the feet. Okay, yep. So obviously you're going to be the white rabbit who gets around quickly, hops around being crazy.
Yep.
Obviously the female version of that. And yeah, I think it'd be kind of fun. We went kind of Disney today.
I wanted to do an Alice in Wonderland something like that for so long. So it actually just came up and it was just like, I know Wild Magic off the top of my head. Let's just do that. I have like 2 Alice in Wonderland posters and I want more.
Well, there you go.
I love Alice in Wonderland.
And
any books that are based around it.
Okay, so the rabbit folk are going to be in the new Wild Beyond the Witchlight, I believe.
Yep.
And then Wild Magic's in the basic rules, I believe.
Yep, yep. It is.
They're not basic rules on Player's Handbook.
Player's Handbook.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Well,
there's a difference.
There is a difference, yeah. Basic rules are free to everybody. And then the Shadow Sorcerer, was that from Xanathar's?
Yep.
Okay, and I had the Fairy from Wild Beyond the Witchlight as well. And then Tyler, yours is from...
I think it's from Xanathar's.
From Xanathar's, the Storm Sorcerer. And the Triton is from Volos.
Volos.
All right. Yeah, just so that we cover all our bases here. Just thought we'd cover all those real quick. I hope you guys liked it. Just a reminder, all the characters are available to download and use. Have fun with them. Give us credit if you use them, but otherwise you don't owe us anything, and have fun with them. So we'll see you next time.
Yeah, bye.
So, how's life?
Oh, not bad.
I really hope that I got in here on mic. Are we recording right now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Whatever she's saying is always
good. I hate you.
Elder abuse!
Yeah.
I actually expected to go strangle Dad. Oh, my God. Also, you're not that old. I mean, you are old, not old enough to be elder. He's still behind you. I'll make sure that they don't get behind you. Bloopers. Blue. Everything.
He's got a point there.
I hate you.
Yeah! I'm scared.